break here during the kind of the holiday season, this 6 weeks in from our study in Daniel. And we're looking, this last week we began a little short two-part series called Living Thank Today I Am Thankful. And last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and we saw, my hope I was able to share with you and encourage you with many reasons why we should be thankful. If you remember, Peter starts this little section off with, "Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ." That Peter wants to bless the Lord. He wants to praise the Lord. He wants to give thanks to the Lord. And he goes through a whole list of things that he wants to bless the Lord for. And we talked about that last week, that we want to bless him and praise him and give thanks for his mercy, that in his mercy he caused us to be born again to a living hope. We want to bless the Lord and give thanks to the Lord for the glorious and perfect inheritance that we have that he is keeping for us. We want to bless him and rejoice and give thanks to the Lord that even in the midst of hard, trying times, he is working through us and he is perfecting our faith. We want to bless and give thanks to the Lord because he is working out that we will obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We want to bless and give thanks to the Lord because of the provisions that he has given in Christ, that everything that God demands from you and from me, everything that God demands of people, he has provided in the person and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Peter says, look, bless the Lord for these things. And we've said, look, here's today, as we go through life, as there are struggles in life, as there are hardships in life, and as there are great times in life, no matter what your situation is, today you can be thankful. Today is the day of the Lord, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So today, no matter the situation, there are things for you to be thankful in. Well, now, we would be remiss, or I would be remiss, if we just stopped there and went through that glorious list that everybody who knows Christ has reason to be thankful, regardless of external situations and things going on in your life. I'd be remiss if I didn't also continue on in 1 Peter, because Peter doesn't stop there. Peter gives reasons to bless the Lord, reasons to be thankful to the Lord. But in the second half of this chapter, he actually tells us how we bless the Lord, how we give thanks. What does God receive as thanksgiving? Isn't that important? It's not important enough to be thankful, but we need to understand that what does God view as thankfulness? What are the things that we do? Are we to cry it out? Are we to come and sing it out? Are we to pray about it? Yes, yes, and yes. But there's also more. And Peter shows us what a life looks like, a life that is living thankfully today. What does it look like to live thankfully today? And that's what Peter's going to get at here in verses 13 through 25, and it's what I hope to get at with y'all. So join me here. We're going to pick up in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. And therefore, is the section starts with the word therefore. And we've always asked the question, if the therefore there was, what is the therefore there for, right? Well, it means he's looking back on what he just said, right? Because of all these glorious blessings that you can be thankful for in the Lord, because of those things, here's what I want you to do. Or in a sense, here's the rightful response of faithful believers who are thankful for those provisions. Amen? What is it? He says, therefore, prepare in your minds for action and be in sober mind. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Let's pray. Lord, use me today, Lord, to encourage your people. I pray, Lord, that you would apply the truth of your word by your spirit to our hearts. That we would not just be a people of lip service thankfulness, but of genuine thankfulness. For we have received so much. As always, Father, I ask that what I've prepared for today is not tainted by my failure or my flesh, but as a worthy representation of your word and what you'd have me bring to your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going to exposit that entire section because y'all want to go finish cooking, right? Right? So we're going to make four quick points on here that I think really get to the heart of what it looks like to live thankfully today. The first thing we see here is in verses 13 and then again in verses 18 through 21. And that as we are, if we are to live thankfully today, it means we will set our hope fully on the grace of God in Christ. Look what he says. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober minds, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And jump over to verses 18 through 21. He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb of God, without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. If we are to live thankfully today, every day of our lives is for the Christian to get up and set their entire hope of life on the grace that we have received in Christ Jesus. If you were in Sunday school today, we talked about that very thing, the glorious gifts of God's grace, one of them being the faith in Jesus Christ. That if we are to truly be thankful before God, that must be our focus, our first and foremost focus, that Christ has lived for me, he has died for me, he has risen from the dead for me, and he is coming for me. I set my hope on that. He said, Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace of, on God's grace in Christ Jesus. Don't miss that. The gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus, the provision of God that he has given by his grace. And we were just in, if you would, go with me to Galatians 2. If you're in Sunday school class, we were looking at this. I can get to it. Look at what Paul writes in, starting in verse 15. When he says, look, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith and not by works, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. What does it mean to be to set our hope fully on the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Is to set our complete hope on the grace of God, knowing that that is the means by which I am justified before Christ. That it is God's grace that brought His faith to me, and now I trust Jesus. I cannot give thanks to God by claiming that I'm working myself towards Him. That would be contrary. As Paul would say later on there in Galatians, that would make the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, inconsequential. It would mean it meant nothing. It was worthless. See, if we are ever to stand, listen to me. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking that you will give first and foremost thanks to God by trying to prove yourself before Him, you've missed it. You give thanks to God by setting your hope fully on His grace in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. Some of you guys are on Facebook and you've seen I wrote something. We talked about this last Wednesday. As I've been studying this idea of grace more and more, we did a four-part study on Wednesday night about God's grace. And I thought it was wonderful for those who you were able to make it. We had a great discussion. And there's something that came to me that I realized was that it is not God's wrath, it is not God's judgment that sinners hate. It's God's grace. Because here's the bottom line. If dead men, if sinners truly believed God to be a harsh taskmaster who was eager to burn them down, eager to judge everybody who has offended Him, if people really believe that, then people would do everything they could to appease that God. But the truth is, people don't fear God. They hate God. And they hate Him because He's gracious. And they view His grace as weakness. They view His grace as the inability to exercise His judgment. They don't hate Him for His wrath. They hate Him for His grace. Because here's the reason. Fallen man finds it offensive that they must trust someone else. Fallen man finds it offensive that he can't pick himself up by his own bootstraps and make it right. Fallen man finds it offensive that he must wholly and completely rely on God's grace in Christ. So they hate His grace. They hate His grace. This is exactly what happened with God's prophet in Jonah, was it not? That he knew God's grace and he hated it. Something was wrong in Jonah's heart. He ran from taking the gospel. He ran from giving thanks to proclaim what he had in God to others and to express the mercy and the grace of God. And when God asked him, why are you angry after God has extended grace? Grace was the very thing that he was angry with. Fallen man doesn't hate God's wrath. He hates God's grace because it shows our utter inability and need. And if we are to give thanks to God, genuine thanks, it must start with setting our hope fully on the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Let us rejoice in that. So that's the first thing. Second, look at verses 14 through 16. Now you might think, well, wow, this is going to undermine everything you just said, but not if we understand this as the process. Look at verses 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If the first step to giving God thankfulness, for living thankfully today, is to set our hope. Every morning when we wake up, we set our hope fully on the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The second part is that we seek now to live for the glory of God. That we seek holiness in our lives. Not because we think that is going to earn us anything, but because that is what God is working in me. He says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. You once lived in the desires and the passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, and were by very nature children of wrath, is what Paul says, right? But God, being rich in mercy, and because of the great love in which he loved us, while you were still dead in your sins, made you alive in Christ. You were once ignorant. You were once dead. Now you are alive. Don't go back to that. If you want to live thankfully today, it means today you seek to live in the new life that God has given you in Christ. You can't go back into the old self. One who goes back into the old self and lives in the old ignorance is not giving thanks to God. They're mocking the very provisions of God. Go back with me to Galatians again. Look what. Galatians chapter 2. Look at what he says. After he says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. So we believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. You get that? Like, if we want to be thanks, we have to live in the new life. If we go back in and don't seek to live in holiness, don't seek to put to death that old man, we are essentially proving ourselves to be a transgressor. There's something that God is doing in the gospel. That the gospel is not just saving people, not just justifying people, but it's transforming people. And the way we live in thanks to God is that we live in that transformation. Be holy, for I am holy. And you are called, the one who has called you is holy. Be holy. Friends, hear me. We are a grace and grace and grace church. And we will never overdo the need to talk about and to learn about God's grace. But hear me, brothers and sisters. Grace is not opposed to holiness. Grace produces holiness. We cannot go about our lives living as our former self and claim that we have received God's grace. It produces something. And if we are to be thankful, if we are to show thankfulness to God, if we are to bless God, it is through our seeking to be holy, to put away sin. So we set our hope fully on God's grace in Christ Jesus. We seek holiness. Let's continue on. Look at verses 17 through 21. He says, and if you call on him as a father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him the glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now jump down to verse 23 to 25. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. And what's this third area of giving thankfulness that I would draw out of that is this. If we are to live thankfully today, it means we live with an eternal perspective. We do not have our focus on the here and now. We do not despair in hard times. We do not despair in trouble. We do not despair in pain because we look beyond it. We do exactly what Jesus said. Who endured the pain, who endured the mocking, who endured the scorn, who endured the torture as he looked beyond it to the glory that was to come. If we are to give thanks to God, if we're going to live thankfully, it is that we will be free from living in despair because we have an eternal perspective. We know that the world is passing away. We know that everything will come to ruin, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And the word is the good news that has been preached to you. That you have Christ, and Christ has you. We must have an eternal perspective. If we're living for the here and now, we will get wrapped up in trying to find our hope in everything but Christ. If we are so concerned with what we are going through right now, we will forget that Christ has redeemed us and one day will call us to himself. And there will be no more tears and no more pain. We must live with an eternal perspective. So set your hope fully on the grace of God in Christ. Seek holiness. Live with an eternal perspective. And then lastly, look at verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly. That one hardly needs any exposition at all, does it? How do we thank God? By loving one another earnestly. Think about how he strings that together. Love one another earnestly with a pure heart. If I want to thank God, that means I am going to love April. I'm going to love April without any desire for myself. But I simply want to care for her and cherish her and nurture her as a sister in Christ. That to love someone earnestly and with purity means that we are genuinely living for their good. Above my own. That I submit myself to my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Think about this for a second. If the church really wanted to show thankfulness, if the church really wanted to be a witness before the world that what we have is so glorious it's beyond comprehension. If the church really wanted the world to see the light that we have in Christ, what better way than to be a people who love each other earnestly with a pure heart? That I care for you. And my care for you is not worried about a burden upon me. This is why Jesus says, that the two greatest commandments are what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to do what? And to love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, let's just think about this. Let's just be honest. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty at times. But let's think about our day-to-day lives. and how we respond to the things that we see. How we respond to the horrible things in the world. How we respond to God haters who make us so darn mad that we want to scream. But let's think about what this calls us to. What does this call us to? To love earnestly from a pure heart. I do believe that the church in America has lost some of its prophetic voice because it's lost that. We don't love earnestly from a pure heart. We don't look at the one mired in sin and long for their good. Quite often, we are like the Pharisee who prays, Lord, thank you that I'm not like them. If we want to give thanks to God, if we want to live thankfully today, it'll be we carry the grace of Christ. We seek personal holiness. We love earnestly and pure. And we live with an eternal perspective. Those are very basic. Might be the shortest sermon of the year. Happy Thanksgiving. Let us today live thankfully today by hoping in Christ, seeking to be holy like Christ, looking beyond today and have an eternal perspective. And let us love earnestly and with a pure heart all who God puts in our path just today. Tomorrow has enough for itself. Let's try it today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And we are about to partake in the Lord's Supper. And I pray that this message has led us to your table well. That we have a hope beyond ourselves. And we can set our hope fully on your grace that you have provided in Christ Jesus. And that you are working holiness in us. And that we can look beyond the pains and the struggles and even the joys of today and focus on the glory that is to come. And that we are to be instruments of your love in our homes, in our church, and in our community and beyond. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, Amen. Ushers.